Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 56. 57? Wait.
57? It's 57. Did I not update the top corner?
I last week was 55.
Really?
Pretty sure.
No.
Oh. Yeah, it was. I didn't delete the other contents in our sheet. Hang on, let me show people what I'm talking about. So, we have our episode 55 sheet, and you can see the max YouTube content, the BlizzCon line speculation, and I went to episode 56, and I added some more week in review stuff, but also didn't delete this old stuff. And so, I assume, Anam, you saw that and went, well, that's last week's notes, so this week is episode 57.
Exactly. So I built a whole 57 sheet to...
Whoop.
So it's actually 56.
Long story short, today is episode 56. That is awesome. What I have on Twitch. Because I just took the stream title from last week and I added one.
Okay.
That's how I know it's supposed to be 56.
Awesome.
But of course, I am Emelson. And I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to talk about what we want to see as far as like mechanical changes to the different Covenant abilities. So if you haven't seen it yet, we're going to talk a little bit about this right now, actually. We have patch 9.0.5 on the PTR. And in the patch notes for that, or the announcement that PTR was live, Blizzard, or the development team basically said, we are willing to make changes to Covenant balance in patches. Yeah. Not hot fixes, but patches. Which means that we are getting some Covenant changes in 9.0.5, and so today we're going to talk about what changes we would like to see. Spoiler, there aren't any yet for monks. But
well, there's a change.
The Fleshcraft change doesn't count.
That's okay. Fair enough.
But before we get into that, we have a bunch of stuff from this week. So let's go through that first.
Awesome. Yeah. So actually a very crazy week. You mentioned the class changes. We'll talk about that in a second. But two quick points before that is we had some mythic Stone Legion generals. We'll call them nerfs, but general changes, right? I don't think we talked about this last week, but they did a complete overhaul of the fight. With the reset coming in this week, they changed a bunch of things from a scaling perspective. They changed things on mythic in terms of health percentages. They changed how certain abilities work. So in general, you know, a lot of changes to the fight. Some of the big ones, right? The health changes I think are big. They reduced Goliath and Skirmisher health by about 10 and then 11%. So those are the adds that spawn during the fight. So fairly
only
big changes.
Mythic, which the skirmishers are only a mythic mechanic, so obviously that only applies to mythic. But the Goliaths show up on all difficulties, and heroic and below don't get the Goliath HP nerf.
Right. That's fair. And then what they also did too was they changed some of his spell queue abilities, where he won't cast Seismic Upheaval as his first spell in the final phase of mythic, which is.
So, great. Have you had that happen to you and them?
We haven't. So the hotfix actually went live as we were pushing attempts where we would have hit that. So we didn't actually get that timing once, but doing that part of the fight, getting that timing would absolutely suck. So so for people who haven't done the fight before, right? What this is that you essentially do the same thing you do in heroic. You fight each boss individually to 50%. They fly up. You deposit Anima with Prince Renathal, and then the new boss comes down, get him to 50%, do an intermission phase, and they both come down and you fight them. The thing is, at the end of every intermission phase now, there is a huge knockback from the Prince when you deposit the final Anima orb. So in order to counteract that, you essentially ran into a corner of the room, basically, where you entered the room, right, into that corner or on the opposite side, either way. The problem is right after that, the boss could trigger Seismic Upheaval, which means your entire raid is now in a corner, has nowhere to go, and you're now running together with Seismic Upheaval everywhere. It was honestly probably the last remaining awful overlap of that fight.
I saw some clips of it. It was pretty nasty. The window for like determining whether you got other light, whether you got that seismic upheaval or not, was like 3 seconds long or something like that.
Yeah, you had super to, short.
You had to push, like, in order to have that happen, you have to push after he queued it up, but before he had the chance to cast it. And that basically just meant anytime he's got other spells that he's casting, and also that spell has come off cooldown. So it didn't happen super often. It was kind of hard to trigger, but it was also one of those stupid things where something that you did 2 minutes ago before the intermission started could just completely ruin your pull.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's actually a great change in terms of just removing that overlap. And then the health nerfs, it just makes keeping those adds under control just a little bit easier. So
while we're talking raid stuff, how's your prog going, Anum?
It's okay, I'll say. I think the biggest thing that we're learning in terms of progression, so we've essentially, to give you guys where we're at, we're essentially making it through the first transition and about, you know, 60 to 70% on the second boss. So I don't know who that is. Off the top of my head.
You don't target bosses.
Yeah, I play Paladin now, so I do.
Oh, you do target bosses.
I do target bosses.
Turned off?
I just don't look at, I don't have my target frame anywhere near my, I just click. But yeah, so we're going through it. I think the current version of the fight, I don't think is bad. We haven't hit any bad overlaps. We have seen the whole Winds plus Wicked Blade overlap where somebody will end up with like 2 stacks, or we even had it rotate around the boss twice and clip some of the melee, which killed us. So we've had one or two wipes to that already. That's been a little bit frustrating, but it hasn't been bad. It's a very weird fight in terms of the way you do it now, in that there's a lot of waiting around in the intermission phase. Yep. And then doing a bunch of AoE damage, and it's our DPS, they're not very good at doing that. I'll be honest.
I have been doing prep for that, and you have to hold DPS for a long time.
Yeah.
Twice, even. Once to let all the commandos group up, and you burn them. And you got to hold DPS again while you wait for the next crystallize to happen.
Yep.
It's super, super, like...
It's just weird. And the other thing we're running into, too, is the orbs themselves, they drop. There's a slight graphic, but... there's just, when you kill them all at once, they're everywhere. So like the idea is you don't want people to get it, and like sometimes you're moving away as something else is happening, or as like the feet thing is happening, or like the big red circles, and then like you run into it. Like, it's just, I think it's just getting comfortable with that part of it. But yeah, I mean, it's not terrible now. I not having fought the other version of it, you know, not knowing enough, I don't know how bad it is, but it seems like it's very much a like, learn this part of the fight, execute it, learn the next part, execute it. It's just a long 10-minute slog, right? Yeah. So, but yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, there's not a ton of healing either, so it's just use your cooldowns for meteors.
You get to slap the boss.
I do. For a little bit, and then... Well, now I get nervous, right? Because like, if I like stand like a yard too close to the boss and the Wicked Blade comes in, I get clipped, and then all my melee die, and then... Yeah, but no, it's not. I mean, it's not been terrible so far. We've gotten, we got a full night in on Thursday. We're probably going to extend, so it's basically just Stone Legion and Denathrius left. So in terms of progression now, so, but yeah, it's not too bad. These nerfs help, I will say. They're exciting. But staying in the raid, I think one other change that we've got is they've changed the crescendo animation on Sire Denathrius.
Oh my god, I did this on Heroic. It's so much better. It's an unbelievable amount better. They changed it from red to orange, and it does so much for the visibility of it.
Yeah, so there was a time when I was doing this on my Paladin. I'm Venthyr. So I used to, the first time I ever did that fight on my Paladin, I dropped Ashen Hollow on the first set of ads
that we spawned.
And then we killed them, and I died because I literally couldn't see the circles underneath. So then, like yesterday when I was doing it, I didn't realize this change had gone in before we killed it at, like, we did progression, and then like in the last 15 minutes, we killed the last two on Heroic. So we had a lockout. So we went in there and I like dropped my Ashen, just, you know, whatever, do some more damage. And then I was like, shit, like in my head, I'm like, I'm so effed. So I literally ran to the center of the room where like my Ashen wasn't. So I was like, I'm not going to die. Like, I'll be perfectly safe. And the huge orange thing. So I was like, this isn't too bad. This is easy. So
yeah, man, I did not enjoy dying to things that I couldn't see.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, that was the most intense part of that fight. Yeah. To me, that it was one of the hardest things in that fight. So
yeah. Yep. But yeah, I definitely did some Denathrius pugs on alts that were not able to get through Crescendo with much of the raid alive.
It's I mean, watching your feet, it's tough. It's an advanced skill, I think, in raiding, so.
Too advanced, exactly. Some would say.
for sure. All right, so now we get in. I think that's all raid-wise we have. So now we get into the big fun of this, which is the patch thing that they dropped. PTR. Sorry. So they basically, you know, Blizzard, of course, this week dropped the PTR, basically unlocked it. We had the encrypted files being sent to the CDN, I think, last week. Those were not data mined, but we knew that they had posted the encrypted files. So we knew it was probably close. Didn't think it was going to be this close. Probably like either a at BlizzCon or post BlizzCon thing.
Yeah, they got our speculation from last week is it would arrive either during or immediately after BlizzCon. And here we are a week before BlizzCon. It's been out for the better part of a week because it came out on like Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. So a bunch of stuff have been data mined. And we'll talk a little bit about class changes. But in terms of timing, and I think you mentioned this, Emelson, is, you know, Blizzard did put out a blue post with this PTR that sort of explains some of what they're looking at, right? We'll get into some of the points that they're making here. They sort of described, you know, Valor gear, which we'll talk about, and then also describe sort of the Covenant that you mentioned, Covenant legendary tuning that they're going to be doing in this patch. So put out all this information. They also gave us a date, which is this is looking like a March release. They didn't say early March or late March, just that it's March, so we can expect it in the next couple weeks in terms of when it's coming out.
It's only 2 weeks away. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's close.
I was in my head going, oh, March is a long way off. We've got a while yet.
Yeah, no, 6 weeks is, I think, the max, right? If they released the last week of March, so at this point. So nice little blue post about some of their expectations of what we should see. And then, of course, we got to the data mining itself, right? So a bunch of sort of class changes came in. A lot of Covenant tuning came in. One of the big things, I think, that isn't really Monk-specific, but they actually reworked the Warrior Covenant ability, which sort of, I'll bring it up here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
The Necrolord one, right?
Yeah, the Necrolord one, yeah. I'll bring that up here is that they basically almost redesigned it. So it's now, you know, very much a different ability, very much a buffed ability, right, in terms of what it is. So it gives some idea of Blizzard looking at some of the underused Covenant abilities for classes and potentially making large sweeping changes to them.
Yeah, so I think it is worth noting that the Warrior one that we're talking about, the Necrolord one, it was so unimaginably bad. Like, between that and Fleshcraft being pretty meh, like,
yeah,
it was, I don't know why you would ever, like, for mechanical systems reasons, ever pick Necrolord Warrior.
And
I think the numbers basically bore that out.
Yeah, so this is it's a good change for them. They get something new. The Fleshcraft change that we mentioned is another big one. They essentially turned it into a DR plus a large shield. So if you're channeling Fleshcraft, if you're channeling it, you end up with a DR while for the duration of your channel. And then the shield itself is actually larger once you complete that channel.
They doubled the size of the shield.
Yeah, it's actually a huge buff. I mean, it turns out into probably the best signature ability, or whatever they call those things.
I don't know if I'd call it the best. I think it does depend on the class and the encounter. It still has a 2-minute cooldown. It no longer has the thing where it is larger when you use it on top of corpses, which basically doesn't matter in raid, but it is a little bit relevant in Mythic Plus. Mm-hmm. And they changed that to when you move near a corpse, it reduces the cooldown, if I remember right.
Let me see if I have this up.
Crap.
Yeah, moving near an enemy corpse consumes their essences to reduce Fleshcraft's cooldown by 1 second.
Yeah. So you got to be killing a lot of stuff for that to be a bait cooldown reduction. So that's really only going to come into play when you like go out in the open world and you pull an entire micro and you just like AoE it all down. And then you might get to Fleshcraft every single pull. Outside of a couple of trash packs in Mythic Plus where there's just like a lot of small mobs, you're not going to get much time off of the Fleshcraft cooldown from that.
Yeah, but I think even
the base is so much better.
Yeah, and even at 2 minutes, right, you can now utilize this in terms of like in a raid for certain raid damage abilities, right? Like,
I mean, this is now Brewmaster's second best defensive cooldown.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even just in terms of like individuals in the raid itself, like 2 minute cooldown on like Sludge Fist, you basically negate two pillar charges, right?
That's actually so good. So you can, a pillar charge. I know this intimately because we were working on Sludge Fist this week. 3% wipe, so close.
Oh god.
When he charges into a pillar, he hits the entire raid for about 25k damage. Now that's about 60% of a DPS's health. If you Fleshcraft it, and you can Fleshcraft every other one, you drop that. Just with the shield, ignoring the damage reduction, you drop that to somewhere around 7k.
Yeah, which is negligible.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And then if you do the big brain thing and you like 30% DR it with part of the shield up, like you catch the tail end of it, you could take zero damage and have shield left over because you have the 30% DR on top of it. So this is pretty good. Like, this is really good, actually.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is, like, as a defensive cooldown, particularly in a raid, like, it's huge. Particularly for classes that end up being a little squishier.
We didn't mention yet, they reduce the channel time from 4 seconds to 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah, true. Yep.
Yeah. So, 25% reduced channeling time, double the shield value, tack on the DR effect.
It's...
Turns out if you buff it in basically every way possible, it ends up being good.
Yeah, there's no way this ends up sitting here like this, but we'll see.
I could see this going live as is. I don't think it's enough that everybody swaps to it. Like, I think it is enough that if they're competitive, like in a raiding scenario, if your Necrolord and like Night Fae abilities are competitive with one another, I think you go Necrolord because of this. But I don't think it's going to be like, oh, my Night Fae ability is better. I have to go Necrolord for the cooldown. Because it's still, like, maybe it's just my raid. People die with their defensive cooldowns up all the time. So.
Yeah, I mean,
when it's very clearly telegraphed, like on Sludge Fist, that doesn't happen so much. But there's a lot of other fights where damage is not quite so predictable. And trying to predict how to use a 3 second channel to deal with the damage is maybe a little bit of a tall order.
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, we've started to include like personals as a thing we do. So like when people should use them if they have them up. So our grade is getting better at that. But yeah, I mean, that's why I see this as maybe potentially being pretty good. But
yeah, I think that's fair.
Absolutely.
Because like we use health stones and stuff like that on pillar 3.
Yeah,
help with the healing on Sludge Fist. So,
yeah, that pillar sucks. It's actually the worst one, by the way. So those are some of the high level things. I think in terms of specific monk changes, only Mistweavers got changes, and they got mana reduction cost on Renewing Mist and Vivify. So Renewing Mist got a 0.1% mana reduction. And Vivify got what was it, like 0.5%? Sorry, I'm going to pull this up. I'm going to look like an idiot for not knowing this off the top of my head.
If you say 0.5% and it's 0.4%.
It's 0.3, actually.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's true. It's
these changes may as well not exist. These changes make the like 3% buff that Warriors got look amazing.
Yeah. It is a low amount, right, in terms of like what it is on an individual spell. The problem is, and this is what I actually have to do tonight. is look at what this looks like over the course of a fight, right? So based on the number of vivifies you are casting, or even renewing mist that you end up casting, right? 0.1% off a single spell, not a big deal at all, right? That's a small number, inconsequential, right? But if you're casting it, you know, 50 times over the course of a 7-8 minute fight, then that's a, you know, a substantial amount of mana you're gaining, right, over the course of it.
Right. So the thing is, if you take like your total mana expenditure from across a fight, right? Mm-hmm. If you say renewing mist is, I don't know, 20% of it, that's probably too high. I don't know, Mr. Uber.
Yeah, probably.
But if you take that and you say, okay, that is now 0.1% cheaper, then
it's still not a lot.
Right? The most it can possibly do is 20% of 0.1% for your total. Like,
yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Yeah, I mean, I guess to be fair, you're turning me on this. This is, you know, basically nothing. I mean, I think the idea, though, of the change is good. I think the actual amount, yeah, you're right, is probably not.
Is a little low.
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate to say a little low because I, you know, not being having a chance to play with it, right? But I think the idea is that this is something good that Blizzard's looking at, just because in the past, and maybe I'm off here, they very rarely, like mid patches, make mana cost changes, right?
Okay.
They've done it in certain cases, but this is sort of the first one that I remember where we got this, and then Paladins also got a mana cost increase to one of their spells, to Holy Shock. So
just to make sure I understood you correct, you said 0.1%, like...
Yeah, so it went from 2.2%.
Oh, well, flat. So it, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it went from 2.2% to 2.1%.
Gotcha. So that is... It's not that they reduced the mana cost by 0.1%, like 0.1% times that.
Yeah,
no. They subtracted that off, which is more like a 5% reduction.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah. So it's not, yeah, it's not, and that's similar with Vivify. So it's not, that's what I'm saying, is it's not a ton of mana, but it's something. And from a thought process perspective, them looking at this makes better sense than them buffing like spell power percentage or something, right? So yeah.
I think knowing that, I think this sounds potentially better, but it, again, I think the numbers are too small. I think this sounds like the warrior change.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't think it changes how you play Mistweaver just yet. Which is, I mean, today you play Mistweaver by not casting Vivify as much as possible. So yeah, that is, that's the, at least the current monk changes. We'll probably see some, and they did make a change to one of our anima powers, so I think it's just a tooltip update, but the Wowhead data mining looks a little weird on it. So yeah, that's sort of it for monks. A couple other changes to some classes, but the other big thing after class changes has been the return of Valor. So Valor points are back. Valor gear is not back, but Valor points are back. And a couple things to sort of describe the system at a high level. Essentially, Valor points are back. You gain them by doing Mythic dungeons and from your callings, or Mythic plus dungeons and from your callings. That's how you gain Valor points. There will be a weekly cap similar to Conquest points. I don't know if it rolls over like Conquest points do, but you will have a cap on the amount of Valor points you can obtain in a week. And then the Valor points can be used to upgrade Mythic plus gear. And to the upgrade ceilings are essentially based on the number of dungeons you have done. So doing all Mythic Plus dungeons, you can upgrade things to item level 200. Doing all Mythic dungeons at plus 5 or above unlocks 207. Doing everything at 10 or above unlocks 213. And then do everything at 15 or above unlocks 220 as your ceiling from an upgrade perspective.
Yeah. And importantly, you cannot upgrade stuff that dropped before patch 9.05.
Correct. That's one clarification they made.
So yeah. If you want to be prepared for this system coming out, the correct thing to do is not to stockpile every single piece of loot you can get your hands on. It is actually just to make sure that you get your Keystone Master achievement, get all those 15s in time, so that when the patch drops, you can immediately start using your Valor to upgrade stuff to eye level 220.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is, I mean, I don't like this at all. like in terms of just the way this plays out, I think regardless of like the ceilings, right? Like I think a lot of people have had issues that the ceiling for all 15s isn't 226, isn't on par with other things, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard a couple of arguments from both sides, like, you know, Mythic Plus gets shafted, look at PvPers who can get to, you know, 33 weapons and things like that.
Yeah, think, a little bit.
but so here's one argument that I actually like, and I don't know if people will follow along with it, but the idea is that I don't think Blizzard looks at Mythic Plus as a different system under the heading of PvE, right? I think they look at gearing pathways in two ways. They look at PvP gearing and PvE gearing. And that means that they look at both raids and Mythic Plus together as a unit versus separate paths to reach your maximum item level available. Yeah. So which is ultimately why, like in PvP, yes, you can get 233 weapons or 226, you know, or 233 sort of armor, but getting, what is it, 2300, right? Or 2100, something like that, it is not easy. Like that's hard, right?
I mean, I just did 1800 in RBGs finally this weekend because I put the hours in and I grounded out. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not easy. I'm super geared relative to most people that are doing PvP. So I definitely had an advantage there. And going to 2100, like, the way that my games went over the past week, like I had a stretch where I won like 10 out of 11 games. Like it's definitely like, I feel like I could hit 2100 and it's just going to take a huge amount of time.
Right.
For me to do that. At least like maybe not huge in WoW terms, but huge in me terms.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I think that's maybe why I'm not too worried about the item level ceilings, right? In terms of the Valor upgrades. The thing that I don't enjoy is the mythic is number one, having to do all 15s to unlock that max level, right?
Yeah, I'm not even close to that because I almost just stopped doing keys. So
yeah,
doing 14s for weeklies doesn't contribute to your Keystone Master.
Exactly.
So and like plus two to 14s don't matter.
It's that, and then it's the fact that like doing all 15s rewards you with 220 means that like you want that gear anyway to do 15s, right? Like there's,
yeah.
Like I feel like even at 218, that where I sit at now, like 15s are not a pushover, right? And so the idea that I might be able to upgrade a slight item now to like four or five above what I have in that slot isn't enticing, right?
Yeah.
Like I think when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, like my thought process was like make the upgrade path based on gear and dungeon combinations where. If you want to have these ceilings at these areas, awesome. Do a 15 in mists, and you can upgrade any gear that drops in mists to 220, right?
I think like don't you have a real point there in terms of like the size of the thing you have to do to get any upgrade is right. Maybe too large. I definitely see that. I kind of agree, but at the same time, that does line up with PvP where you need to hit this like arbitrary threshold to upgrade stuff to 220 or 226, and like something like top percentile of players is like 1800 in threes right now or in twos right now because he's trying to do twos or something.
Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I think the other side of this too is that this is all based on upgrades to gear you get dropped.
Yes.
So like the idea there.
So yeah. I was doing some math on, like, there's one good tank trinket from dungeons, okay? Mm-hmm. And tank trinkets are actually probably the hardest singular kind of item to get from a dungeon in the game because there are no other tanks in that dungeon, right? It's just you, okay? Mm-hmm. So the only way you get one traded to you is if one of your party members doesn't need things off of their normal loot spec, switches to the tank loot spec, and then can trade the item. So it's right. A fairly high bar, and it's a bar you're not very likely to meet, and there's even group comps out there that you just can't do it. Like, if you have a hunter, a rogue, a DK, and a priest in your group, the DK can trade it, and that's it.
Right.
So it's pretty difficult to get that kind of loot. If you have nobody that can trade you a tank trinket, it would take you almost 17 hours on average to get a Hakar trinket from running the other side. God. If you always time it, which means you have two chances to get loot.
Yeah.
That's doing a 15. That's timing a 15. So if you're doing plus twos and upgrading with Valor, you can do them a lot faster, not because the drop rate's better, just because you can jam out of 50. Like the time it's going to take a geared person to a plus two the other side is about as much time as it takes to literally walk through the instance, because that's where
right
that works.
Yeah.
If you aren't timing it, like if you fail to time 25% of your the other side keys, you're looking at over a day time played just in doing that dungeon to on average get one. And like that's on average. Some people are going to be above average and require more. Some people are going to be below average and require less. And that is, again, the most extreme kind of thing, because everything else, like weapons, drop from multiple different kinds of specs. So you're pretty likely to be able to get a weapon, even if it's not the exact weapon that you want.
Right, yeah.
But, oh boy, wanting to get one specific trinket that only drops for tanks is like, you shouldn't bother. You shouldn't bother.
That sounds rough. Sounds rough for sure. So.
Like, IQD for comparison, which is the other like big name trinket, I think from dungeons, can mm-hmm. drop for literally anyone, and so it takes a fifth of the time.
Right. Yeah. That's the other side of it, that it's not an actual vendor where you can buy gear from. It's literally upgrading drops, which means you have to get those drops. So
I have never seen a guard trinket drop. I just do a weekly key, sometimes not even that. But I stopped because the loot drop rate was so bad.
I think we've talked about the gearing a lot. I don't know if this really fixes the issue. I mean, it helps in terms of like you being able to potentially get an item early on in your sort of Mythic Plus journey and keep it up to date, you know, as you sort of climb that ladder. But the thing that I think made PvP gearing so nice is that you could target certain slots and like fill in gear gaps already, which this doesn't really help this fill in gear gaps. Yeah. Potentially the only thing it addresses is you helping friends with like lower level keys and maybe getting an item you could upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Like that's
basically what this says, is that if you need either a specific item or a specific slot, you figure out what's the best dungeon for you to do for that item or that slot.
Mm-hmm.
And you go run it on plus two until you get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you upgrade it with Valor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's Valor points. We'll see if they change. They said they wanted to collect a bunch of feedback on the system. We'll see, you know, how that works. I still like my dungeon specific example or idea. You're right. That's probably not the way that they'll end up going. I just think that it covers you off from having to grind. Like, you're already going to be grinding that dungeon anyway, so you don't have to grind a different dungeon, like grind all your 15s and then go back to one to get the gear piece that you need. And then it makes it a little bit more, I mean, I'm being selfish, it's less time investment, right, to get to
and
like
I'm the 229. Totally on board with that.
Yeah, and like, maybe they don't want that, like, but I don't know.
I mean, I think they want there to be some kind of, they want people to have a like a patch long goal to get to, right?
That's fair.
If you're those of us that do mythic raiding, that is cutting edge.
Yeah.
You know, for most, like, okay, limit members need not apply. For most of us, it's getting cutting edge.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're only doing dungeons, it makes sense for that to be Keystone Master, or really, it should probably be some new achievement that is above that for like plus 18s or something, but Keystone Master.
Yeah,
and then like the 1800 to 2100 achievement for PvP. So that's like your every patch do this thing kind of like meta achievement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but that is
I agree with you.
Yeah, the 50, like the Keystone Mass will be something I probably start this week in just terms of like starting to grind that. So
yeah, I am at I think 3 of 8 right timed.
I was 8. Yeah, you're ahead of me.
I don't think I've done. I think I have one necrotic wake key ever.
Ooh.
Nice. So
I have I don't think I've done. Yeah, I'm trying to think key wise. I get a lot of sanguine depths. I live in that place if I have to do my own keys. So I'm not. That one will probably be one of the first ones we knock out. But yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be a fun new thing to chase, I guess you could say, in terms of, yeah, just getting that done for next patch.
I'm not going to lie. I literally, the only thing I could do would be to continue grinding my Hikar trinket and then get the Hikar trinket. And only at that point does it make sense for me to actually get Keystone Master for gear rewards for this patch. Like, I still kind of want to do it for the mount, but I also don't really want to invest the time in it right now.
Mount's super cool, though. Love it. I love mount rewards.
I'm at level 224. I am literally 220 in every single slot because PvP.
Yeah, that's true.
The only slot I'm not 220 plus is one of my trinkets is a heroic Hateful Chain.
Gotcha.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah, so we'll see more. I'm expecting some additional changes to the system moving forward, but yeah, we'll see. And then to couple this whole Valor Point Mythic Plus upgrades, you know, Ian got out there in front of some of the raid gearing issues. So he put out a tweet. I think this tweet came out on the 10th, which would have been like Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
And then on Friday they did some. So a tweet, you know, Ian tweeted out on Wednesday, basically like the fact that they acknowledge raid gearing and loot drops and raids need a thing to look at. Their goal though was to, you know, basically implement something ASAP that didn't affect people as they were progressing. They wanted to sort of shy away from impacting the raid because raid drops are much more static, I guess was his point. So they're trying to figure out a way to, you know, make a system that works inside of raiding too, a long-term system.
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about the issues with their Valor Point implementation right now for Mythic Plus. Yep. I'm kind of glad they started with Mythic Plus instead of trying to do both at once, because then maybe they can take the lessons from the Mythic Plus one and not have a kind of crappy raid one to start with.
They already built
a second change, right?
There is a second change, but just before we get off this point, they already built the perfect system for raid drops. Every raid piece gets 2 upgrade levels, and you put Valor Points in to upgrade once and then twice, and that's it. And it ends up lower than the next tier of loot. They did this MOP. It was a perfect system. What the fuck? Like, sorry. Anyway. They then put out a second post on Friday, I believe this was, which basically says they're going to increase loot drops from Castle Nathria by essentially 33%, which now means that from a, you know, essentially you will now get one piece of loot for every 5 individuals in the raid, right? So it previously was at 20 people in the raid, you're looking at 2 pieces of loot. At 30, it was 3, right? Or something like that. So now you're looking at 4 pieces of loot in mythic raids, which...
So it went from 3 to 4 in mythic.
It was 3
at 20 and 4 at 30.
Gotcha.
And now it's 4 at 20 and 5 at 30.
Gotcha. Which is a big change. It's one extra piece of loot, which just means that we can not trade cloaks from Huntsman anymore, because that's all we get on that fight.
Jokes on you. You're getting 4 cloaks now.
Yeah. So, I mean, so this was the other change they implemented, just more loot is dropping, which... So this comes back to a whole point that I have about this. So this is great. It's a good change, right? But this is feedback that was given months ago, right? Like, this was something that going into the tier, going into like the live launch, right? When we look at some of the feedback that was given around the way loot was dropping, very much so, like, we understood there was not going to be as much loot. They made this a point in their like pre, like, you know, alpha beta cycle. Hey, we're going to slow down the amount of loot you get, things like that. And now they're sort of reverting that. And I feel like Blizzard does this in terms of like creating a false sense of gratitude from the player base. It's going to seem very cynical, but the idea is they basically implement something, they get a bunch of feedback about how the system is not going to be good, they move forward with that implementation, and then 3 to 6 months later, it's not good, and they implement the exact thing that a lot of the feedback was pointing to, right? Like, people pointed to like Valor as being a way to, like, you know, if you're not going to increase loot drops, fine, but give us a way to progress just like you do in PvP, right? And like, similarly, like, you know, raiding and stuff like that, very, you know, the same idea. So to me, this, like, I'm happy about this, but I'm not happy because Blizzard did it. I'm just happy that we get more loot, right? Like, it's not that I'm like, oh, Blizzard, pat on the back, you did a good job. It's like, I told you about this 6 months ago. Thank you for finally paying attention for 20 minutes, right? So That's my viewpoint on this. I think it's a great change in terms of driving more loot and raids. I don't know. I'm not giving Blizzard a pat on the back for something that they probably knew about 6 months ago. So, or maybe could see the writing on the wall in terms of like, hey, this is probably a good idea to implement. So, I don't know. That's my point. Very cynical.
Can you hear the music in the background?
I can't know why.
Okay. It's showing up on OBS.
Should I,
can you go check the stream real quick?
Yeah. Is it like loud music? Where's it coming from?
It's just bass. It's, I don't know, someone jamming out on their drums or bass or whatever.
Oh, okay.
In here.
No, I can't hear it from my end, so. At least right, cool. The Discord mic.
Sorry.
So.
I just saw it show up on OBS and I was like, oh. It's been happening on and off this weekend. And I don't know. Yes. I assume it's because people are back in school.
Gotcha.
But yeah. I mean, you're totally on point. I was looking through the hotfix notes to see if I could find how much they actually nerfed the drop rate spy way back. And I have not found it yet. I'm all the way back in early December. I don't know if it was in the official hotfix notes or if it was listed elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that was after the first week heroic. They nerfed.
Right.
You were getting too much of it. Mid-December.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I either scrolled past it or it was listed outside the hotfix notes. But I feel like this probably actually, like, just undid that change.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't want to put on like the tinfoil hat and be like, Blizzard did this intentionally, and then now they're trying to like farm karma, right? Essentially, no. Or like farm some good face. But I don't think it is that. I think, and we've talked about this sort of previously, right? When we talked about some of the developer issues that happened like over the summer, right, or the fall timeframe, right, where there was a big Twitter fight. Between some devs and some older, you know, theory crafters or members of the community. And the idea there is that, like, maybe the devs think they're too right, right? And have an idea, like, don't have the ability, not the ability, but the, like, the understanding of maybe they're not making the right decision and being able to, like, say, like, hey, we screwed up. Or we don't think this is good. It sounds like they basically release a piece of information to the community, and then that's the decision. They sort of hide behind this false sense of like, get on the PTR, provide feedback, when the actual idea is like, this is what we're going to implement regardless of what you tell us, right? Like, regardless of the way a PTR cycle goes, like, major systems are in place. We're not going to change those. We think those are good from a directional perspective.
Yeah.
And we're finding that, like, oh, hey, like, 6 months into this, these systems that you think are great ideas are not. Like, they're not working out in the game.
Corruption.
Yeah, to be fair, they didn't put as right on the PTR or beta early enough to get feedback, but I get it.
8.1 PTR.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's why, like, this is a great change, but this is sort of indicative, I think, of the way Blizzard's been functioning pretty much since, I mean, I would say Legion, but, like, definitely through BFA, right, and into now, is that it's the idea that they implement or they state, we're going to make this design change or this decision from a systems perspective, get a bunch of feedback that, like, hey, this might not be the best way to do it. Hey, you could probably try this, ignore it, and then implement whatever they thought it was 6 months later, make a change, right? Or live with a shitty system that people scream about every patch to make changes to, right? So yeah, I mean, great. More loot's dropping in raids. It's awesome. But, like, we had this the first week and it was great. And then they changed it, and then it sucked for 6 months, for 4 months, right? However long it's been, 3 months, I guess. I'm overstating. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think if they're looking at this, like, in terms of, like, tying this to Valor points too, like, they already built the MOP system, man. Like, this is you got a loot drop, you basically got two upgrade levels, you know, tie it behind some sort of, like, achievement of, like, having to kill a boss or having to kill a certain number of wings, right? Two or three times, and then, like, great, you get to upgrade. You unlock one upgrade level and unlock the next.
That's when they introduced that stuff. Part of it was to help guilds, like, to be this kind of natural nerf to the raid in the same way that AP or corruption was.
Exactly.
Over time, you would get it. And just just like make that part of the Valor. Like, imagine that. Just don't tie an achievement to it. Just like right. be like, okay, cool. You know what? 6 weeks from now, you're going to be able to upgrade, you know, three or four of your pieces, and voila. Doesn't matter if you got that Valor by killing the first three repeatedly and then finally getting the fourth down, or right. if you got that Valor by clearing the raid in 2 weeks and then just upgrading the gear because, I mean, you got the Valor anyway.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying is, like, that system replaced the old, like, zone-wide buff system, right? Where they used to do zone-wide buffs, which then replaced, and zone-wide buffs was something that basically came into effect in Wrath when, like, in Burning Crusade, like, there were raids that people couldn't kill. Like, Kale didn't get changes, right? Almost through its entirety, right? After the initial bug fixes and stuff like that, that fight was still hard late in the expansion. So, I mean, the idea of, like, now the joke is, and this is, I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, the joke is now whatever boss Elitist Jerks is on, that's the next boss getting nerfed, and that's when you know you can progress. So, like, literally our raid, like, we look at where EJ is and we're like, should we actually push this week to fix this, or is EJ getting this boss this week where we'll see fixes? And, like, for folks who don't know, Elitist Jerks is essentially Ian's guild, right? Like, that's the guild Ian raids in still to this day. By the way, hats off to the man who works on this game for 8, 9 hours, 10 hours a day and then goes home and raids. Like, that would not be me. But in any event, like, that's the joke, is that EJ gets to a boss, sees what actually players are experiencing, and changes come in. And it's, I mean, there's better ways to do that. There's better ways to handle it. And I think, you know, if they're going to go this whole Valor upgrade route, basically implement the system, I think it was MOP that MOP had, which was like, each piece of raid gear.
Like, let us upgrade gear.
And limit it. Get, like, don't let us upgrade past the next, like, tier, right? Or, sorry, past the next difficulty level. Give us 2 upgrade points or 3 or 4, whatever number you think is appropriate. And that will soft, basically, nerf the raid. And now I say this, and I'm 100% going to see, we're going to allow you to upgrade raid gear. It's going to be 4 upgrade levels. You get 1 item level for each upgrade level, and it costs a week's worth of farming Valor to upgrade 1 level. So really, you're never going to upgrade all your gear. So good luck. Like, but in any event, like, maybe we'll get that system and it won't suck. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're totally right. 100%. I'm still of the opinion that they need to do something about the difficulty of acquiring specific items. Like, I give the example of the Hukar trinket, which is, again, an extreme example. You know, you're looking at about a fifth of the time to get something like an IQD. Mm-hmm. But it's still a long time. Looking at, like, 6 hours of doing dungeons for a specific trinket, like, okay, that's like a week of doing the same dungeon every night. Okay. But then there's, again, stuff like the Hukar trinket. They need to do something about that, because Valor, as it stands, doesn't solve that even a little bit.
No. But, I mean, beyond just a vendor, right? Like, there's no other way around that beyond the vendor idea of, like, putting gear on a vendor and letting you just buy it with some sort of currency. I mean, maybe somebody smarter than me can figure out a way to, like, I don't know. Maybe it's like you gamble currency, which I don't know if they want to do that, where it's like you enter a dungeon.
That's just coins with extra steps.
Exactly. Well, that's true. So, but yeah, that's new. Oh, one thing, sorry, Raid Gary, we didn't mention. Weapons will now drop more often is the other change they're making. So not only are we getting more loot, but weapons will drop more often, which...
There's a couple of, like, particularly bad bosses. Council of Blood for, what is it, Monks, Warriors, and DKs had 6 or 7 pieces of loot, where most other bosses have, like, 4.
Yeah.
So if you were trying to get the weapon off that, 1 in 6 instead of 1 in 4, literally just 30% harder.
Or just be me and get all your 226 weapon tokens traded to you. Because most of your raid PvP is. So.
Solid plan.
Yeah.
Did they not let you into the RBG group because you're a Mistweaver?
I mean, I'm a paladin now, Emelson. So, no, I just don't.
They were doing the RBGs.
So, to be fair, they did them on Saturday nights. So, I could never attend.
Okay. So, you were doing this instead. Okay.
Yeah, I was doing this instead. So.
Fair enough.
Definitely better.
I'll stop giving you shit about it.
That's fine. So I don't know if there's anything else on PTR stuff just out. So expect more changes, expect more notes on that over the next couple of weeks. But it sounds like they're making some system changes in a point 0.05 or it's 0.0.5 patch, which somewhat of a new concept. So we'll see. So the other final thing I have on here is just BlizzCon schedule is live. So the proceedings kick off, at around 2 p.m. Pacific. So that's 5 Eastern on next Friday. So Friday coming up with basically the big WoW panel starting at 3:10 Pacific time. That'll be the what's next. And then there's a deep dive immediately following that into World of Warcraft. So basically the 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock hour Pacific is your WoW hour for BlizzCon if you want to check it out. So
the quality of those panels is going to have a very significant impact on the mood in my raid night on Friday. Because if those panels are good, people are going to be hyped.
Yeah.
And those panels are bad, I mean,
it's gonna be interesting for me for how I watch it. Hopefully watch it live, because that's it. On the East Coast, it's like 6 o'clock, and that's basically me like finishing dinner with my family and like getting ready for bedtime. So I'm gonna might have to like pull a favor from the wife and be like, hey, can you take the kids tonight? I gotta watch some World of Warcraft stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But that'll be the big timing. And then there's panels for basically every other game, basically at the same time, I feel like. The Overwatch 2 thing I'm actually kind of excited about. They're doing a behind the scenes panel on it, which will be fun. And then the Diablo What's Next is also generally at the exact same time. So a lot of what's next. Of course, we have a BlizzCon this time all at the same time, where I feel like at actual BlizzCon they used to rotate these. I felt like they weren't overlapping, but maybe I'm forgetting. So
they definitely overlap to some degree. I don't know if they overlap like the major panels. Like, admitted as a zero times attending BlizzCon, you know, person, just doing the virtual stuff.
Yeah. And I always bought the virtual ticket. So, but I don't remember this being that overlap. But basically, that 3 o'clock hour or 3:30 hour was Pacific time was literally nothing but what's next for every franchise. So,
yeah.
Well, so maybe we'll get some Warcraft Reforged updates, you know? Maybe they'll.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
So it's funny. Funnily enough, I listened, as a little aside just based on that, is I listened to a podcast. It's Giant Bomb, which is Jeff Gerstmann. He was basically made big waves when he basically gave some game a bad review and got fired for it because the marketing department at GameSpot was like, you can't give this a bad review. They just gave us a bunch of money. In any event, he started this new company, Giant Bomb. Love them. But they did their basically Game of the Year awards. And one of them is like essentially it's like not worst game, but like worst situation around a game.
Right.
And the Warcraft Reforged is in their top three. Cyberpunk won the category, but Warcraft Reforged is in their top three. And literally Brad, one of the people there, was like, Warcraft Reforged essentially cemented for me that Blizzard is dead as a company. Like, it's literally just Activision now, like not Blizzard Activision, it's just Activision. Cause they were like, he's like, the Blizzard I knew, the Blizzard I grew up with, like making Warcraft, making StarCraft, essentially killed done games because they weren't good. They killed Titan, they killed StarCraft Ghost, they killed Warcraft Adventures, which is like an adventure game that was essentially done. Like, I think there's actually a playable version of that out there. Yeah,
there's one. Then
they released this, which was like, they gave a demo at the previous BlizzCon, which is like this whole thing about how we're going to change these art assets. We're going to add in story from World of Warcraft because things have changed in the past 20 years. Basically a full remaster almost. Not just a remaster, but like a remake of that. Similar to like the FF thing, their Final Fantasy VII remake. And he's like, we got this crap. Like, he's like, this is ridiculous. This is basically just like Blizzard's dead. So it was just a funny anecdote. So that's why I joke.
You can make the same argument based on BFA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. So, I mean, I'm still hopeful. It's a sort of a downer way to end this sort of segment, but yeah, it'll be BlizzCon's always interesting, at least to see what's next. I'm actually like low key excited for Diablo Immortal because I need a new phone game. So
we'll see what it's like.
I think it's gonna be good. So,
cool. I think that brings us to the end of the stuff from last week. Only an hour into the show. I think that is our longest stuff from last week segment ever. But in fairness, we had a lot to talk about.
We had Patch, we had Valor, we got you know, raid gearing, got terrible ideas and systems that they're implementing. So we had to comment, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, again, so as we mentioned, they are willing to make very large changes to Covenant abilities right now.
Yes.
So we are going to spend the next like 45 minutes to an hour talking about what we want to see changed in our Covenant ability.
Heck yeah.
Which one do you want to kick us off with?
So I would actually like to talk with Venthyr.
Okay, I think just that's the obvious one.
Because I think it's the most uninteresting one we have. I feel like that's the one that...
the worst in every single
board. If we're going to make a wide sweeping change. So to me, Fallen Order as an ability is extremely uninspiring. It's a fire and forget cooldown. It's probably one of the worst... Not one of the worst, but it's the worst sort of implementation of some extra ability you get, right? Like a lot of times... So when I think of Covenant abilities, and this is where my mind is at when we think about what we're going to do changes, is I want to basically have an ability where I hit it, it makes me more powerful or does something to make me more powerful around me, right? Maybe not my character specifically, but something happens when I hit it. And hitting that button and watching people come out of a portal, it doesn't help. Like, I don't feel more powerful because I've hit that. I just feel like I now have a bunch of idiot friends
running around. Army of the Damned, you know, you sit there, you channel that for like 5 seconds, and you have a huge army of ghouls that follows you around for that point. And okay, you know what? That's cool. I like that.
It's also thematic.
You get like one, they get shit out of the portal every like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It runs around, does basically nothing. If anything moves or there's CC of any kind, they basically just stop doing anything. If you've seen, like, I know they're very rare, but if you've seen the Venthyr Monk in PvP and you drop Ring of Peace, you've just negated their entire 3-minute cooldown. really do that. Like, if someone entangling roots, like Mass Roots, does it too. There's a bunch of ways. It's really bad. In PvE, if a boss moves, sometimes they just break.
Right. Yeah, so my idea here, so in terms of like what I'd like to see is like, so thinking a little bit on the thematic side and a little bit on like what would be a cool ability would be basically like the ability to, thinking about this from a Misweaver perspective, but I think we can make this work with the other specs, is like drawing something out of the anima, right? And empowering one of your major abilities, right? Would be what I do, or do the whole like replace sort of the ability in your rotation. So my idea for this would essentially be like being able to channel or push out multiple REMs, like Renewing Mist, at once on a sort of a somewhat of a cooldown, probably a 45 to 60 second cooldown, right? Which basically does one of two things: gets more, you know, Renewing Mist out on the raid or on the party, right? So you can line it up with certain damage abilities, and that will make your next sort of Vivify cast more powerful in terms of like a very Mistweaver specific thing. And from a thematic perspective, it's sort of you're pulling things from the anima, because Venthyrs are very much, are they like that? We did the whole story thing. They were siphoning anima from everything. So it's like you're just sort of drawing on that, right? To then expel some sort of magic to help that.
I don't remember when we talked about this, but we did talk about alternate ideas for the Venthyr one. Mm-hmm. And that one, like the same kind of like, I had the same kind of, you know, let us siphon life from enemies or anima, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever you want to call it, to do that. I think that's a very on theme one. And I would put Fallen Order maybe not on the, like, it was really hard to overstate how bad the Necrolord Warrior ability was. Fallen Order is, I'm not going to call it good by comparison, but at least I can understand what they were going for. But Fallen Order really needs to be remade.
Yeah. So I think something like that. I think if we look at like Windwalkers in terms of like how this could work with them, you know, maybe we turn it, oh gosh, I always go back to Tiger's Eye Brew because I love that ability in MOP, but
that's like a PvP thought, you know.
Oh, is I don't think he's a Windwalker.
Against Warrior DK comp, because it's apparently just turning off armor for a few seconds is pretty good.
Not bad. So yeah, so I mean, that's what I'm trying to think how this would work. Because the other side of this is all these abilities overlap in terms of spec. So like, it's really easy to say like, we hit a bunch of renewing mists, but then like, what does a Windwalker do if they hit whatever the new Fallen Order ability is, right?
Another way, instead of like trying to do the like anima draining thing, you could go off of the sins and punishment kind of angle. And it's like, okay, if you look at it from Windwalker, you press a button, it reveals the sins of the enemy, and it gives you some little thing to do to do extra damage, whether it's, you know, I would say probably not like a positional thing, but maybe just more like, you know, if you hit like something that goes in with their mastery, like you press that and it says, okay, cast Rising Sun Kick next. Cast. Gotcha. Blackout Kick next, you know, something like that, and it does like, I don't know, quintuple damage or something. And then that's cool. Same principle could be brought over to Mistweaver, where it's like, okay, reveals weaknesses in your allies, and like, I don't know, healing them grants them an absorb shield.
Maybe it's an ability that puts, you know, 15 to 20 absorb shields out, and then you do a bunch of damage and you make those absorb shields bigger, and we'll call it something that rhymes, like maybe not directly like shell, you know, maybe it's like,
I'm calling it,
we'll call it mist shell. Spirit
Mill. Yeah. Or mist weaver.
No, that would actually be, God damn. You just nerfed that ability too. But maybe making it's something like that. I think that would actually be interesting. Like, yeah, like revealing weaknesses and then being able to protect those, yeah, from our allies, or, you know, shoring them up, whatever that ends up being. That would be interesting. That, yeah, our next few abilities, whatever they end up being, provide a sort of like shield, right? On top of that, yeah, I would be down for that actually. But yeah, I think in that case, right, we're both looking at sort of the idea of a thematic ability that when you hit it makes you do something, like powers you up. And I think that's pretty cool. The Windwalker one would actually be interesting. It'd be funny to see how that might work if like you hit it and all your cooldowns reset, and then you have to hit your next four or five abilities in a certain order. Well, like your short, like it resets like.
Yeah. But at the same time, like if you've looked at the Windwalker guides for how to use weapons of order, it's all like, you should go into this with all of your short cooldowns off of cooldowns. You can fit them all inside this window. So I wouldn't, like, I don't even know if they would need to make it reset. Like, maybe Fist of Fury, because that one has a longer cooldown. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Or, like, I don't know. Some way of doing it and just tie it to their mastery. And it's, like, because they're supposed to be hitting different things anyway, you just basically switch up the rotation. And, you know, instead of, like, Weapons of Order makes it way faster, you know. The Venthyr one would just like make it slap, like you RSK 30k, and nobody mentioned PvP. PvP doesn't exist for the purposes.
They can't balance it anyway. So,
RSK for 30k damage. I'm pretty sure I've seen a screenshot of that already.
That's true. But yeah, I think that would actually be an interesting change. I like that idea. What would you do for Brewmaster though?
Instead of it doing extra damage, like lots of extra damage, I don't know, have it do less extra damage and also extra brew cooldown, or guarantee you dodge the next thing, or
would that be like weaken the enemy for a certain amount of time, so like their damage ends up being like their melee physical damage. Well, I wouldn't, if it's melee physical damage, there's certain bosses that won't be great on, right? But
there's a bunch of like defensive buffs that could tack onto it. That like when you satisfy the same condition that Mistweaver has, you know, you get a thing that doubles as like, you know, you get some extra damage and also you get some extra defensive power.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I like that sort of like hit these abilities in a certain order to like reveal something about whatever you're fighting or whoever you're trying to help. And then, yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. Anything else on Venthyr?
No, the
signature just change it.
Good. It's just Fallen Order that really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they just change it to anything. Like,
yeah, I mean,
just reuse another monk ability
and paint it red, and I'd be pretty happy, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super uninspiring. Do you want to actually do Kyrian next?
Yes, let's do Kyrian next.
Okay.
So I am still on the record as actually hating Weapons of Order on Brewmaster.
Okay.
I stand by that still to this day. I actually like it quite a bit on Windwalker. It flows a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I don't know how it is for Mistweaver. I can't speak to that at all. But for Brewmaster, it needs to do something more.
Because yeah, for right now, too.
All it does, and not even like power level more, like interactivity more is what I'm talking about. Because right now you press it, and the only thing is you make sure when you press it, and this isn't actually, you know, scratch that. It's not even that important to make sure Keg Smash is on cooldown when you press it. It's like a very tiny DPS gain to make sure that you do.
Right.
All you do is you press it and you deal more damage for 30 seconds. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know, copy what they did to Windwalkers, because the Windwalker one's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing with Mistweaver, right? Like it resets the cooldown on the Essence Font. Essence Font now procs a AoE healer around you. It's short range. I think it's like 8 to 10 yards. Every time you start the cast of Essence Font and finish the cast of Essence Font, and then over the course of the buff, you gain an increase in your mastery. So in general, like, you just do more single target healing, which has never been an issue for Mistweavers to start with. So it's not exactly an amazing cooldown, right? Like, you today you'll pair it with, you know, if you're running Chi Ji, like, you'll pair it with Chi Ji just because that the heal, like, the physical damage to heal conversion is based on gusts of mist, which is based on your mastery. So, like, you'll get a large, you know, increase in HPS that way. And that way it works, but it's very uninspiring in terms of hitting it, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of those abilities where I think it fits what we talked about at the start, which is like, we want to hit something and feel more powerful. But like, this, you hit it and you're more powerful, but it's a passive, more powerful, right? There, you're not changing anything. You're not, you know, really doing anything different. Like, in the terms of Mistweaver, if you don't have Chi Ji, you just hit it when you need to do some potential more healing over the course of the next 25, 30 seconds. And that's it. So it's not a, I don't know. I also don't like it that much. I mean, I used it on my monk for basically the first like 6 to 8 weeks, right, of the expansion. So have a ton of time playing with it. It also has in terms of its cooldown too, it always fits weirdly in with other things you're doing. So, I mean, I think in general, I don't know. Like, what I might end up thinking here, right, in terms of like a thematic change, would end up being, number one, like, remove the cooldown resets, right, and the things where it procs off an ability that's a 12 second cooldown that we can't reduce or do anything with, right? So change that, if you're going to leave it something like that. And then, I don't know, the mastery increase, I get why they did it across the board. It just doesn't seem like it, in a world where Mistweaver also already isn't favoring mastery in raids, right? And really isn't favoring it in Mythic Plus either. You know, buff a different stat if you're going to do that. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe it's similar to the Windwalker one, right? Where it's like you cast a certain ability and the cooldown of like Essence Font actually reduces, right? Like, and tied, like, they've done this with other things, like tied into maybe our damage abilities, right? Like, every blackout kick reduces it by a certain, you know, fraction of a second, right? And that way you're sort of like interacting between like doing some AoE healing, actual casting healing spells, and then in downtime, you know, trying to reduce that cooldown so you get more of those casts out. That might be something interesting in terms of like aligning to like Mistweaver sort of somewhat class fantasy of like doing damage to increase your healing, right? And this would do that in terms of like reducing the cooldown of Essence Font.
Or, you know, reduce mana costs, like make it reduce mana costs some way, because that's another problem that Mistweaver has consistently had over multiple expansions, is running out of mana.
Yeah, this is actually the worst expansion that I've been a part of. I've always thought that argument has been dumb, I would say, and by dumb I mean like people like Mistweavers inherently have a high mana cost, and I think it's a holdover from pre-Legion rework, where we had unlimited mana in it. Pre-Legion. we had unlimited mana in Warlords of Draenor. Like, Manatee at that point was like, literally, use your mana bar, channel for 10 seconds, you get your mana bar back. Like, that was the rotation. Wow. It was great. It was awesome. I mean, it's the reason that Mistweavers literally could solo towards the end of the expansion. You could solo heal almost every boss in Hellfire Citadel.
That's
by yourself. Like, as a Mistweaver, it's like one of the only times like you'd see us that strong, right? But yeah, I mean, I think that was the overcompensation in Legion. In any event, Legion, it wasn't that bad because nobody played Mistweaver. So nobody really knew how bad our mana cost was. And then BFA, I don't think mana costs were that much of an issue. We just didn't do any healing. And then now, yeah, we're sort of still not doing healing and mana costs are fairly high. So, but yeah, I think, yeah, mana reduction would be cool. That sort of occupies the new manatee sort of space already. But at a 3-minute cooldown, I mean, I think it might be something interesting to explore. I still think, though, doing the CDR and Essence Font, adding that to this ability over the course of it, you know, would be helpful. The mastery increase is whatever. Like, it's,
yeah,
just, you can get rid of it. And I feel like that, you know, the CDR reduction would be good. And then maybe the mana cost reduction on top of that would be interesting.
You could literally get rid of the, okay, for one thing, Windwalker doesn't have a cooldown reset on it.
Oh, it doesn't?
There's none.
I thought it reset Rising Sun Kick when you hit it. Oh. Does it reset? Am I an idiot? Does it actually reset?
Oh, it does for Brewmaster and for Windwalker.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Because of their mastery.
Yeah, you don't gotcha.
Twice.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough.
I know. Maybe I'm the idiot. I'm pretty sure it doesn't reset RSK. Actually, I probably said that and it probably does, and I've been playing it wrong the whole time.
It doesn't. They removed that. Yeah, okay. You're good.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, it's a very small DPS increase to actually pay attention to that line of text on Brewmaster. Mm-hmm. You could get rid of it, and it would do basically nothing for the power level of that ability for Brewmaster. It's actually, like, the only time it's actually, I would say, been relevant to me as a Brewmaster is on exactly Sludgefist, because then you can go keg in 3 GCDs. With the Storm Southwest Keg legendary inside of one of the pillar charges. And that's it. That's the only time it's ever been relevant.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, and for Mistweaver, when I used it, I never lined it up like that, because there's the amount of times you're going to need back-to-back Essence Fonts and then 25 seconds of a healing cooldown. Like, very, very limited, right? So, having not played it on Sludgefist, and actually, to be fair, I wouldn't have played it on Sludgefist anyway. Maybe you need it there, going to like third pillar, you know, like we talked about, like going to third pillar, third to fourth pillar, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very lackluster power ability for everybody but Windwalker. So,
yeah. Yep.
Do something inside it. I actually like your mana cost reduction idea for Mistweaver was actually really good. And then I think if you did something with the cooldown of Essence Font inside of that, I think that would be cool. And just remove the master increase and go from there. It'd be an interesting rework. So again, though, it's 25 seconds of that. I don't know if you need it, but you know, maybe we go back to solo healing or covering certain raid abilities with that. So
listen, we could do with Mistweaver being able to like meme solo heal some bosses.
We like, do that as long with as Kale.
First race, doesn't matter.
That's true. Cool. Anything else on Kyrian?
No.
Yeah. All right. We'll do Necro next. I'm intentionally saving Night Fae for last because...
Okay. Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Obvious reasons.
Yeah. So Necro. So Bone Dust Brew. I actually like this ability.
You know, I think the ability itself is boring. But it's a rotational ability. It doesn't need to be as like high impact as like a 2-minute cooldown.
Right. Okay.
For Brewmaster, it's rotational. It's something you hit every 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brew CDR. And that interaction is kind of cool. I like that. It's. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I might change, right, particularly for Mistweaver, is while it's on a minute cooldown, it would be interesting for it to be a slightly more impactful like power increase, right? So the one problem is that it's very much a location targeted ability to get the power out of it. So for certain fights, it's just going to be not wasted, but it's going to do less than others. It's propped up a little bit by some of the soulbind abilities you get, like with Emini's intellect increase, right? You still gain a benefit from using it. Your intellect still increases, things like that. But it would be cool if it was less of a, like, I don't know how to change it, because like it's ground targeted today. I understand why that is. I don't know if that changes to like something in even in an AoE around you, it doesn't help in terms of like making sure you're positioned right, because there's still going to be boss fights where you're spread, where you're not with the group. However, in Castle Nathria, it's actually not that many, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just looking at sort of the final fights that I've been on, right? Like with it, Council, you're grouped up for the majority of it. Sludge Fist, you're in melee for the majority of it. So you're going to hit melee anyway. Stone Legion Generals, you're grouped up for the major damage abilities like Meteor Soaks, where you're going to use it. Denathrius might be the one where it's a little bit less useful, but you are going to end up in two clumps in phase three where your healing is really important.
Right.
So there's still going to be similar amount of uses for it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of fight design right now, it's fine. But moving forward, the idea that it is such a... I mean, 10 yards is not that big.
No.
I
think it's better for Brewmaster and for Windwalker because it's a little bit more controlled. You have a lot less, like... There's a lot of raid mechanics that ask people to spread. There's not a lot of raid mechanics that ask for you to loose spread the enemies. Like,
yeah,
they just don't do that because how would you?
Right.
So basically you're either hitting it on a single target or you're hitting it on AoE. And in both of those cases, like, I don't think there's an issue with it. I do wish it did something a little bit more interactive than just oops, your damage did more damage.
Yeah.
Since it's a low enough cooldown, I think it's okay. I don't think it's in major need of attention, and if they were going, I would rather them focus their attention on the Venthyr and Kyrian abilities than touch the Necrolord one, especially since, again, Fleshcraft got really improved, and that was always one of the downsides of picking Necrolord, is that Fleshcraft sucked.
Right, yeah. You'd use it start of the fight, or really before the fight, right?
Yeah.
And then never again. I mean, I guess on Council, we'd use it on the intermission phases, just, right. You know, because you had downtime.
If you had a chance where there was downtime and you couldn't hit the boss anyway, like, you would use it. There's not a lot of those this tier.
No.
No, it would have been great on this off. Downtime all the time. You could have cast that thing every 30 seconds and been fine.
Oh my god, that fight. I think the buff to Fleshcraft definitely support, like, helps it here. I think ultimately, from a Mistweaver perspective, a lot of its power is going to be based on how they design fights. And if they're continuing to be fairly grouped up, then I think it continues to be an okay ability. I do wish, to your point, like, I guess you're right. It's a low enough cooldown. It's a minute cooldown. It basically lines up with most major healing, you know, abilities anyway that you're going to need. Not most major, but, you know, they generally don't do earlier than 1 minute major damage events on any fight, just based on, like, the number of healers you have and what you're going to need from a cooldown perspective. So, ends up working out okay. It's just, I wish the circle was bigger, because... when we actually get a fight where we're not sitting on top of a boss or one spot, it's just going to not be fun to hit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they could do a couple things to fix that, even if it were just, you know, make the circle bigger for Mistweavers.
Do that. Yeah, that would help. I mean, I also thought about getting crazy where it, like, it hops, right? So, like, you throw it, splashes, and then has, like, a bounce and splashes. So that would be interesting in terms of, like, hey, I'm gonna position myself, dunk melee, and it's gonna hop over and dunk range, and, like, I get the range just right.
So you gotta go stand on the tanks.
Well, yeah, like, shift around, bump, make sure my range is exactly like the 10 or 15 yards back from where they need to be, so the bounce hits them just right. But,
you know, that's never gonna work in practice, right?
No, I say, like, you'd only hit the first group, even the second group, you're excited about it. Similarly, like, with, I used to try and snipe Chi Burst on, like, range groups, like, as they're moving. So I'd be like, position myself in melee, shoot it through melee, and be like, I'm gonna hit that guy as they, like, rotate this way. Never worked out the way I wanted. But yeah, that might be interesting as a dumb thing for them to do. But yeah, make the circle bigger for Mistweaver.
Yeah, the only thing I can snipe DPS with is boss mechanics. So
Nice.
But I think that brings us to the Night Fae. And I mean, I think you've got basically the sum of it here, Anum.
Oh, yeah. My my notes in this one is essentially literally too pretty, never change.
It's again, I will stand by this. This is, if you're not Windwalker, this is the best Covenant ability. I guess I should not talk about Mistweaver. For Brewmaster, this is the best Covenant ability in terms of gameplay. I think it could use a tweak to like there's this random tacked on, like you stagger 5% more, that only works a little bit of the time and is really janky. And honestly, they should just get rid of that and make it do something like when you hit an enemy, give Bruce EDR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like, I don't care that it's boring and that everything else does that. I just, it would be better. Do the thing you know.
Right.
Give us Bruce EDR, give us dodge, give us something like that that's going to make it, you know, more reliably valuable than random 5% dodge that sometimes doesn't actually do what it says on the tin.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think for Mistweaver, right, it's not terrible. I mean, the initial heal is solid. It essentially not replaces, but it can be used in conjunction with Chi Burst. So any position you'd use Chi Burst, you're generally going to use Phalanx Stomp. The damage is nice, not great. But the problem is like the standing in the Fey lines and getting random Essence Font bolts isn't, again, as a healer, I hate randomly procced things. It's just because inevitably they will proc on a person that has zero benefit from having it. This is sort of one of those things where like, great, you get an Essence Font hot on someone. If they're at full health, that sucks. If they're low health, maybe you'll see it in time to actually heal them and take, you know, take advantage of the double gust procs from it. But I mean, I don't know. I think the ability itself is pretty. I think them making the change, they made this change sort of late in beta, which was they started to do the healing from it immediately triggers when you hit the ability instead of being a part of the Fey line that goes out, which I think is a good change. I think they made the damage similarly the same way.
I do think there is a tuning issue with this one, at least as far as Brewmaster is concerned, and probably also Windwalker, let's be real. So the Brewmaster ability for Kyrian and for Necrolord, they're both like on par with Night Fae in the scenario where Night Fae gets to stand in their Fae line all the time and get maximum resets, which basically amounts to getting 50% reduction in the cooldown of Fae line stomp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best case scenario for Night Fae. You cannot do better than always getting to stand in your Fae line. As soon as you start having to move out of your Fae line, the others do pull ahead. And I think this is something where it should be the case that, you know, in encounters where you are allowed to stand in one spot and just tunnel, you know, Night Fae should be better. It shouldn't be like 20% better, but it should be like 5% better. It should be like, yes, I get to stand still and stand in my Fae lines, or I get to micro my positioning and play around my Fae lines. And instead of being, you know, just on par with the others, when you do that, when you get to do that, it's better. And if you don't get to do that, it's worse. But you have your highs and lows, and it's okay for that to happen. But right now, like most cases, Fae Line Stomp is going to do less damage than the Kyrian or Necrolord abilities. And top it off, it's pretty rare that raid encounters favor consistent overall damage over just like being able to put a lot of damage in a small window.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, Sludge Fist, like literally 4 10-second windows, and you put as much damage in those as you can. And the Kyrian ability is better for that. Like the Necrolord ability is better for that.
Right.
Necrolord's a little bit random, but whether you have a Fae Line Stomp up or not is also random. So
yeah.
I do think there's a little bit of a tuning issue with that, but in general, like mechanically, this one's fine. Don't touch it.
Yeah, just, and if you do, just don't ever change the way it looks.
Yeah.
Make it like you can make it like a spinning AoE ability, but like just keep the line. keep the Fae line. So I think that is the coolest one. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, like for Mistweaver's right, if we were going to make some updates, I think the initial healing is fine. I think the Feyline piece, you know, maybe instead of it proccing, you know, like an Essence Fount Bolt on the target, give it a buff to individuals healing as they stand in it, right? Like their hots heal the individual more, like very much like a life cocoon. At which point, you know, it's not up to you if they stand in it, right? But it is a nice bonus if you can hit it over the group where you're not going to move for, you know, the 10 or 15 seconds that the Feylines, I don't actually know how long they stay up, but however long they stay up, there's a nice buff to the healing you do post the initial burst, which, you know, from a healing perspective is always a great ability that does something immediately as you hit it, and then you get sort of a lingering benefit beyond that. So I would take that, and even if it's a small amount, like if it's 10% more healing from your hots, which essentially only affects two abilities that Mistweaver has, I feel like it's still better than getting a random Essence Font Bolt that procs on a target. So in terms of like just you know, controlling the healing that you do. So and yeah, for what is Windwalker's right? It's just more just damage.
That's it.
When they stand in it. Okay.
No, like when they stand in it, they get resets. There's nothing, like there's no value from standing in it. Only value is that you can get resets of the ability.
Oh, so like enemies standing in it don't do anything.
Correct.
That's boring. Kind of sucks. Wait, does Brewmaster get anything? Oh, Brewmaster gets the stagger, right?
Yeah.
If they're standing in it. Which it's not a great thing. It's buggy. I get it. But like Windwalker kind of gets shafted here, don't we think? Like,
no, I don't really, because they just hit it. They get more damage on the initial hit. Okay.
Okay.
And being able to get more hits out is tied to standing in it. Like you stand in it, you get a chance for resets. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's actually a problem. I think tacking on random bonuses for standing in it beyond the.
Well, I don't mean the Windwalker standing in it.
One, I'm pretty sure it's just that things you hit get a debuff that increases your stagger against them. It's not even actually while they stand in it, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
It says here, stagger is 5% more effective for 8 seconds against enemies caught in the Feyline. So I guess,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I guess Windwalker is up to five enemies caught in the Feyline suffer an additional 65% of attack power damage.
Yeah.
So they get a bonus. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's just an Essence Font Bolt for one. Like, so number one, it's such a shafting for Mistweavers because like Essence Font Bolts suck. Like, no one actually uses that ability for the bolts ever. Like, people come into Discord and they're like, "Hey, like, when do we cast Essence Font?" I'm like, "After damage happens," because literally, it's ridiculous. Something like 80-something% of the spell's ability or power is in the bolt. Not in the hot that it leaves, like even factoring in like gusts of mist procs over top of that, like it's still like the bolt hit is the reason you cast that ability is when after damage has gone out, you hit it, you heal people up with it. And so like tacking a random bolt on, that's what I'm saying, is like that person would literally have to take damage and then you would have to directly heal them for it to be useful. And like the hot itself isn't going to keep anybody alive. Like people are dying if that's the only thing they're getting healed by. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little bit of an aside. Now I'm actually upset that mine sucks even worse than even yours. And like stagger at least potentially does something. Like,
yeah, I mean, okay. It's you can read that and you can go, this is up to 3.5% damage reduction.
Yeah, like, which is
for 8, admittedly, like the cap on it is like 50% uptime. So really we're looking at more like 1.25%. And in practice, we're looking at more like 0.5%. Because of
so very much like Essence Font, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, like okay, it really depends. Like if you're able to stand in your Feyline a lot and get lots of resets, then it's going to be more like 1.5%, 1.25% to 1.5% depending on resets.
Gotcha.
If you have to move out a lot, you're looking at like 1% to 0.75%, something like that. If you have to move a lot, you can basically ignore the text.
Gotcha. Interesting.
But yeah, I don't know. I like it, and actually. Before we get to the rest of the Q&A, I have a question.
Okay, we're going to Q&A already?
Well, we got through all four of the covenants, didn't we?
Okay, that was just a quick transition. But yes, all right, so Q&A time. I'm ready. I had to readjust.
I have a question first, though.
Okay.
So I hit 1,800 in RBGs, which means okay. I am officially done with PvP because I am not pushing to 2100. I do not have the time.
Okay.
I had said I was going to go back to Night Fae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did say that.
I don't know if I'm going to. Like, straight up. So I'm looking at the damage profiles for these final fights, not like damage intake, but like damage requirements. And so Sludge Fist.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. Like Kyrian's just better.
Uh oh.
Stone Legion. There's AoE burns about every 2 minutes.
That's better. It's better. Killing priority adds. Okay.
I haven't looked at Denathrius yet, but
there are four adds that need to die, I think, in pretty specific timings, windows.
Yeah. Plus this AoE in phase one that you can I have heard some silly things you can do with explosive keg on that, which is funny.
Oh my god.
I was planning to go back to Night Fae. I want to go back to Night Fae, but I hit 1800 and I decided to at least wait until after raid this week because we've been working on Sludge Fist and I didn't want to like change partway through Sludge Fist Prog and like
cost us like, mess up like damage. Yeah.
But then I started doing Stone Legion prep and I was like, oh, well, Kyrian actually lines up pretty well.
It's not, yeah.
Like the first ad burn is 2.5 minutes into the fight, about with pretty typical timing. So you cast it on pull, then you delay it for a little bit and you use it on the burn.
Yeah.
And the next one's at like 4.5 minutes. And so you use it again. And it's hard to justify switching off of it.
You were by the way, if I remember our conversation, you were very adamant about this, like only doing this because I have to PvP because they're making me PvP to get gear.
If I hadn't switched off of Kyrian, I wouldn't for PvP. I would not have switched off of Night Fae. Like if Kyrian hadn't been so much better, I wouldn't have done it. The it's just too big of a cost.
Yeah.
But now that I am already Kyrian, I'm looking at it and going, okay, so I'm going to have to do like 12 renown levels. I'm going to have to finish the campaign.
It's intense.
And I think the Night Fae ability is going to be worse. Like, I'm not going to really get a lot of use out of Soul Shape on.
Right.
Maybe on Denathrius, I could see me getting some use out of it, but not on the
let me get you in that corner for the intermission.
The only thing I can do with Soul Shape on Sludge Fist is wipe faster.
Exactly. Yeah, that's funny. Oh god, that's a tough choice. I would say honestly, just follow your heart. You know,
just do what you think's best. My heart says I want to kill these bosses with minimum effort. Let's be real.
Yeah, 100%.
And
that's why I'm Vent there. I think Divine Toll actually ends up being better on a Paladin, right? But not better.
Damage is important.
Right. 3%. Well, that's the only.
Just this week, damage is important.
Oh, dude,
it wasn't our healers that were the damage problem on there. We had people die before the fourth pillar, so
gotcha.
The pillar was lost, so that was why we missed it.
That's funny. Oh man,
every little bit counts.
It does.
So yeah, dude. I don't know if I'm going back to Night Fae until the end of the tier.
Unbelievable. You're weak, Emelson. You got to stick to your guns no matter what.
There's also this is combined with the fact that I had the like very abrupt switch to raid leading.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I don't know if I want to add switching covenants to one that's probably slightly worse to the list of things to do right
now. Yeah. On top of all the other stuff you have to take care of, that's for sure. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. That's fun. So I guess it's Q&A time.
I think it
is. We have some interesting questions tonight. So as always, time for my favorite part of the show, questions and answers. So basically you can send in your questions. You can ping us on Discord, shoot us a DM on Twitter, add us on Twitter. You can come into the chat here as we stream live, ask it there, We'll pull your questions, we'll answer them. And we answer any question, basically. The last few weeks' questions have been pretty on par for like wow stuff. But I mean, look, if you want to know what the best cookie is in the world, you can ask us about that. We've answered that one already, though.
We may not have a very good answer.
We'll have the right answer, please. I know cookies.
Okay. You might have right.
Yeah.
I'm such a cookie connoisseur.
It's true. But yeah, so we got two actually really interesting questions today. So let us get into it. So the first one comes from, and also the names have been easy lately, which I'm excited about. So first one comes from Nibble Pie. Nibble Pie asks, why do you think, this is a long one, so I'll read the whole thing and then we can sort of break it down. Why do you think that we've never had a new range DPS spec since Classic? For Melee, we've had the addition of two DK specs, one Monk spec, and one DH spec. Survival Hunters switched from range to Melee. Even Feral Druids got Guardian split out, so it became a pure Melee DPS spec. But we've had no ranged added since the game launched. If there was a new ranged, if they were to make a new ranged spec, what do you think would be a cool, unique take on it, either class fantasy or core mechanic? So kind of take it one at a time. So number one, why we have never gotten a new ranged DPS spec? I think it's because there was a bunch of ranged spec to start WoW, right? Like you had all 300 specs. You had mages, warlocks, all of those were all ranged classes.
The only melee that was like pure DPS was rogue, right?
Warriors could tank, paladins healed, they were in range, right? Druids had both. Druids basically healed or balanced, right? There wasn't really druid tanks at the start. So I think it was just because there was a bunch of already ranged specs. And range specs in general operate in some very specific class fantasy areas. This is probably a read on the second part of this question, which is like you essentially have your physical based range specs and your magic based range spec, right? So hunters sort of fit that physical. You have a bow. There's only so many takes on like maybe they could do an axe thrower type spec, but then like that's really just a hunter without a bow. But it could be cool. Or some sort of like range spec that throws like physical objects. And then you have like the more magic based ones. I think if they were to do a new class that had a range spec in it, right? Or sorry, that had a range spec in it, you'd probably have to turn it more towards like a telekinetic type spec where they are basically pulling things out of the environment to do damage because you already got like demonic in warlocks, right?
I think some of like what you're getting at is that they have very broad archetypes. Like there's a spectrum in WoW of the archetypes that different classes cover, right? Where like Demon Hunter is extremely narrow. It's basically you're Illidan, but better.
Yeah.
And then there's like...
Because you killed Sargeras and he didn't.
There's something that's extremely broad, like mm-hmm. a mage, where it's like... Almost any kind of spellcaster is a mage,
right? Even you could call like warlock subsets of mages, right?
And like between those two, you like between priest, warlock, and mage, you cover almost every single type of caster in an RPG. The only one that you haven't covered is the psionic one that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. The psionic, telekinetic, whatever you want to call it. And there are things that they could do on like a mechanical level where there's like some things like D&D has the distinction between wizards and I don't remember the name of the other class. Is it just mages? I don't know. One of them's more chaotic and one of them's more ordered and like they could have mages be the ordered one, but then they kind of gave the chaotic stuff to warlock already.
Yeah.
And that's the second issue, I think, is that not only have they basically taken the entire caster archetype and they've split it across these three classes, but they've taken the different stripes within it and they've layered them into the classes already. So like mages have the orderliness, like the structure, especially Arcane Mage plays into that. Mm-hmm. The chaos stuff really ties into Fel because of the way they linked those. So that means that's in Warlock already. And they don't have anything else in established lore that would be a caster, really. Like they could maybe do something with monks, for example, that was centered around Jade Lightning, but that's very one note.
Right, yeah.
And outside of something where there's an established archetype or established character like Illidan that is just not served by any of the existing classes, I don't think they can do something quite that one note.
Right. I mean, and the classes and specs that they have added have been based on like previous lore characters, right? Like DKs are Arthas, yeah.
Chen, and then we got Illidan.
Yeah. And so like the idea is like there's not another strong character that's outside of archetypes or outside of classes that they've already built, right? Like maybe you look at, I mean, even some of the dragon stuff, like maybe it's a class based on being a dragon, not an aspect, right? Because those are sort of the major characters, but being some sort of like dragon-based magic user, but then you're just a mage that can shapeshift, right? Or
and that's the kind of thing that you run into if you talk about stuff like Night Hunter or Night Warrior kind of thing as well, or whatever, Priestess of the Moon kind of thing, Shadow Hunter. Where basically you're saying, okay, you're a hunter with more magic. And it's not like hunters have none, because they got Arcane Shot and some other stuff like that. Yeah. So they've kind of put themselves in this position because of how broad the base classes are. And that's why we ended up with things like Demon Hunters took Metamorphosis from Warlocks, because they gave Metamorphosis to Warlocks because they were the demon class.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also done, what are you going to do with it? Well, DKs have the necromancer thing. But that means that they can't just do like a necromancer class, because that's DKs already. They can't be like ranged DKs. And if they were ranged DKs, then why not play that instead of a DK?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the reason we haven't seen. I think number one, the game started out with a lot of range classes already. So like the idea to balance was to bring in more melee specs. And I think the second point of it is like a new range spec would honestly have to probably cover new ground in terms of like both lore and just like ability, like not ability, what I'm trying to say, like new lore. And then sort of like its base class has to be something wildly different than what they have. So,
yeah, I mean, especially with stuff like Mechatork being a major character in BFA, I know a lot of people were speculating, oh, we're going to get a Tinker class. And that would be ranged, and it would use guns and whatever. And it's like, personally, I'm not a fan of WoW's. Some of their engineering jokes are funny. They're one-dimensional and don't have a lot of depth.
So I'm very upset you brought up Tinkers, by the way.
And I would not be particularly, like, I would be opposed to them introducing Tinkers as a class.
So I was so excited that I spent a lot of money buying Tinker-based domains so that I could own the next major form for Tinkerers. So Tinkertown, Tinker.town, Tinkertown.com. What else do I have?
Tinker.town?
I own Tinker.town.
That's actually a great name.
What else did I own at the time? I had tinkers.dev. I spent honestly, like, I bought probably like 7 or 8 Tinker based domain names right around BlizzCon last year. Fuck Blizzard. They should have done Tinkers.
I did not know that. That is phenomenal.
It's one of those, I do this a lot where I just was like, I need domain names because this will be funny. And then, you know, $130 later. $150 later on domain names, I'm like, shit. Yeah, so funnily enough, like .town was very inexpensive. Like .dev is also inexpensive, but like tinkertown.com was like $60.
.com domain expensive.
Yeah, I was not happy about that. But in any event, Nibble Pie, I think hopefully that answers your questions. I think it's just a lack of like space in terms of like the current like class bases, right? To add another range class.
I think they really need something that has something distinct mechanically and also thematically, and that's just really hard for them to do with how broad stuff they have is.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned like maybe Tinkerers work, kind of, but I think the best place to look is more if you're looking at a range sort of class, it's more towards that psionic telekinetic type base.
I would put
And then go from there. Yeah.
That is something that hasn't really been explored at all ever in WoW, period. Like, it's just not been part of anything. Like, yeah. I guess Priest leans a little bit into that with stuff like mind control, but an elemental shaman's a little bit with like throwing rocks at people.
Right.
How about shaman? Shaman exists.
Actually, that's true. Shit. Yeah, but they're like more elemental based. Like this would be just like real world, like chucking tables, you know, type of thing. Yeah. So make it more like real world based. But yeah, I guess you're right. Shamans also do conjure things out of the elements. So, oh man.
Yeah. Just illustrating the point, really.
Yeah, like a lot of it's already covered out there. So, well, but thank you, Nibble, for the question. Nibble Pie for the question. That was a good one. And then we get to Soji's question, which is a big one. So another big one. These questions were huge this week. So Soji, they ask, imagine that you're recruited by Blizzard to work as a class designer on their new secret project, WoW 2. You're in charge of the monk class. What would you do? How would you make the class right? What design ideas and directions or overall changes would you do? You don't have to be super specific, such as two charters of serenity, unless you want to make a point for something or give specific examples of something. They're asking more like, how can I take the core of the monk class and its specs, keep the theme and iconic stuff so it feels right, but make it better and fix design flaws / bring new cool ideas to it.
So I'm going to a little bit cheat and be like, instead of WoW 2, I'm just going to pretend it's like a WoW expansion.
Yeah.
And we've got carte blanche. We can throw away everything on Monk and start over and also finish it in time without bugs.
Oh, I like that. Okay. I'm fine. Yeah. I was going to say, like, there's no such thing as WoW 2 ever. Like, no offense. Like, it's just going to be more expansions. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to take the first stab at this? Because I have a pretty short. Sure.
My number one thing would be lean way harder into the martial arts end of things. Like, and that's a weird thing to say about Monk, but it's honestly like we've got Rising Sun Kick, Blackout Kick, and Fists of Fury. That's it.
We have like Tiger Palm, which is like jab.
Yeah, okay, there's a jab. I don't know. It's actually, you know, Windwalker is probably fine in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't like SEF. I would cut SEF. And there's probably somebody in Blizzard who's got that and that's their baby and you can't touch SEF. And like, fine, it can be a DPS lost talent. I don't care. If that's what I need to have happen to make it happen. Like, but thinking specifically in terms of Brewmaster, like lean harder into the martial arts end of things, because right now Brewmaster is very much the lucky drunk. Not even like there's no martial arts involved. You get drunk, you get real lucky, and you live through it. So that would be my big thing.
Would you go more in the way of like the drunken brawler with Brewmaster in terms of like actually like not damaging yourself, but putting yourself at a chance for a negative reaction to something, but with a positive upside, an upswing, right?
Yeah, I would.
You know what I mean?
I think it would be interesting, and this doesn't work on every fight, and this is something where maybe it would be like a talent row that you could fiddle around with. But you know, imagine something like Argus, and you imagine you had an ability that it was like a 3-second channel, and while you're channeling, you know, let's be a little bit more aggressive. Let's say a 2-second channel, and while you're channeling it, you have 0% dodge. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But when you stop channeling it, you have an increased dodge chance based on the amount of time that you held it. So like you're basically like you're baiting them. You are literally baiting them, and that's part of the drunken master thing is like. You bait them by looking like you're smashed.
Exactly.
And so then it's like, okay, if you imagine Argus and it's like, okay, you've got this scythe that's coming up and you hit your button and you're playing chicken for the next 2 seconds. And if you land it, you take no damage. And if you don't, you take all the damage.
Right, exactly.
And there's, I don't know if Stagger would stick around, probably would make sense for something like that. But because then that means that it's not just instant death when you screw up.
Right.
But it's a noticeable difference between 0 and 100%.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so you put yourself behind, you put maybe your healers behind and things like that. So there's a catch up. Yeah. Yeah. That would be, I mean, that would be cool. Like that's the one thing with Brewmaster that I always thought was missing is that Stagger is sort of that idea of the drunken brawler, but it's the idea of an always positive drunken brawler, right? Like Stagger.
I mean, have a downside, but yes.
Yeah. But I mean, like the idea is like you just push the initial damage off. And so you still eventually take it, but the idea is you can clear it.
Abstract sense, it does kind of get there, but in like a gameplay sense, it just
doesn't.
Yeah. So that would be my thing. And like I would say that would be something there where you put that on a talent row, and that's like your level 100 talent or level 50 talent row or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that you know works in trash, and one that you know works on different kinds of bosses where you don't have those telegraph mechanics or their spell queue timers, which is really fucky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But that's interesting. That'd be cool. Yeah. I feel like that would be for Brewmaster where my head would be at. It's like more that drunken brawler style, that risk reward.
Also, more Breath of Fire. Not okay. Breath of Fire for the entirety of pre-patch. And so the reason I'm saying more Breath of Fire is not because existing Breath of Fire is good. I stand by what I said at the time. That is that Breath of Fire is a really cool ability that does nothing.
Okay.
By that I mean, use more of the like breathing fire, like lighting things on fire, like just out of generally causing chaos and setting things on fire, and make it good. Like charred passions for the, despite the name, still manages to make Breath of Fire feel way more impactful.
Gotcha.
Because you have these periodic windows where you do basically double damage on your heaviest hitting ability, and you know, you get that in Sludge Fist in one of his 100% damage taken windows, and you get a couple of good blackout kicks in there, and they basically do quadruple damage. Feels pretty good.
Feels okay, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah, so yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be cool. I think for Mistweaver, I would just get rid of Mistweaving as a viable option for the spec. Like, there should never be an instance where you are a Mistweaver and you are not having to hit a damage ability or hit the boss. And I think like that is the biggest downside to what they did in Legion with the class. I mean, ultimately my rework would essentially be to go back to the design ideas they started the class with and get rid of whatever this dumb casting shit is that they're trying to force on us.
Get rid of Essence Font.
Get rid of Essence Font. Get rid of like, I mean, Soothing Mist is whatever, but like bring back, maybe not bring back Eminence. I think Eminence as an ability is, that design concept is dead at Blizzard. I think it's dead in WoW in general, which is like that truly smart heal type ability, passive smart heal. I don't think that's good. Even at the time, while I loved it, I thought maybe it was a little, it wasn't engaging, it was just cool. So bring back like a triggered Essence Font, or sorry, triggered Eminence. You could do something like, I've been playing a little HOTS lately, and they have a monk class, Kazrim or whatever, I don't know what his name is, but he has ability that where like every third melee attack heals someone around you, which would be a cool way to like force the interaction of saying like every third Tiger Palm heals or every third Blackout Kick heals, right? At which point you're like building something up, maybe you're timing something specifically.
Maybe you have something that it's based on the damage that Blackout Kick does, and you have another thing that you can use to amp your Blackout Kick damage, and then there you go, you try and line those things up so your third Blackout Kick lands during a damage amp and does Mongo healing.
Exactly, yeah. And like I think that would be where I'd push the class in terms of like a redesign, right? Would be to more just that converting damage, or converting maybe not specifically damage, but converting you in melee hitting damaging abilities into healing, right? And so whether that's through like an Eminence like buff, whether it's through you need to maintain a buff on yourself, which buffs healing spells you actually cast. I think that is sort of the where I'd take the class in terms of just a general direction. You know, maybe not as far as bringing back Crane Stance versus Serpent Stance, right? Maybe that was
stay in the graveyard.
Maybe that's a little too much. However, I actually like that. I like Stance Dancing. But maybe it's a little too much. But I think, you know, ultimately stripping the actual ability to stand at range and cast from the class would be my first step. And then building on top of you being in melee, you doing that damage. I mean, like, funnily enough, playing Holy Paladin for the past, like, Sludge Fist progression and now Stone Legion Generals has brought back a lot of my, like joy for the game that I remember playing in MOP and Warlords of Draenor with Mistweaver. So definitely more simplified than it was back then, right? Like I don't have to maintain a buff. It's like just hit certain abilities on cooldown. But there's definitely the idea that like being in melee, hitting a damage ability, not healing anyone, but then my, like in this case, my holy shot comes off sooner. Or I get a bunch of holy power so I can light up dawn, right? Is cool. It's I like that. I like that sort of builder spender, you know, almost like healing rogue style, right? Type of class balance. So, but yeah, that's what I would do it. I would get rid of misweaving as a viable strategy, which will piss off more than half of I think every misweaver that plays. But
well, you're in charge now. You get to do that.
That's true. I can make all these assigned decisions, say, hey, get on the PTR, give me feedback, literally never read the feedback, and then 6 months later finally make a change that makes better sense than what I originally thought of. Literally a Blizzard developer. I can do this. I can ignore people for 6 months and then basically think of pull an idea from the forums and be like, hey, we're gonna make this change. I just thought of it. Aren't I great?
You're never getting hired.
No, I love those guys. I love those guys. At least the ones that talk to me. So,
yeah, I mean, going back to Windwalker for just a second, yeah. I would say Windwalker is one of the best designed melee in terms of gameplay.
Yeah,
it's all fun. I like playing it. I don't really think it needs a lot besides deleting SEF. You know, Soji, you and I agree on that one.
I think that's been, it's funny, I think that's been sediment for Windwalker since its inception, right, as being just a very good melee design, like a very good design class. It's just suffered from either lack of doing any damage, right, or suffered from a bunch of bugs, which is...
Or something is bold.
Yeah, it's been the Mistweaver, or not Mistweaver, but it's been the Monk way for a while, right, is for whatever reason, whoever coded the original Monk spec or specs left a bunch of spaghetti behind that nobody wants to untangle. So
yeah,
it's been fun learning about how some of those spells interact with each other. Like the fact that Chi Burst is literally an entity that flows through space and just casts on things it touches. Like it's the hidden rabbits, right?
Yep.
Of there's WoW.
There's a few boss fights this year where you can see in the NPC list on Warcraft logs, the different rabbits that they use.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember which one I was looking at. It might have been Council. That you can see them.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And they don't show up in the replay, but they show up in the NPC list, and it's slightly annoying, but also kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I think that's how I feel like. Yeah, spec wise, Mistweaver, Brewmaster, be cool. Go more on that Drunken Brawler. Mistweaver, just go back to MOP. Like, just lift that class. You made it good already, Blizzard. And Windwalker, I think, is perfect. Just perfect. Just make it do damage consistently, and we're good.
Yep.
So cool. So Soji, thank you for the question. Actually, Nibble Pie and Soji, two very good questions this week. I was a fan. So I don't think we have anything else. I think
that is going to bring us to the end of the show today. I'm going to have a fun time editing this one because of that. I don't know. I guess you couldn't hear it, Anum. I'm hoping it didn't show up on stream. Because
yeah, I didn't hear any music. How was it? Yeah, I did not hear any music.
I grabbed a scarf and put it under my microphone to like I insulated it a little bit, and hopefully I was able to watch. Like I did that, and then I watched the volume level that OBS saw drop by 5 decibels. I was like, okay,
Jesus. Nice.
But well, I'll get to have some fun editing this one this weekend. Yeah. But before I can do that, I gotta do the outro. So thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that goes on over at the Peak of Serenity, whether it's guide writing or theory crafting or helping out in the Discord, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And as always, we appreciate your support, whether it's financial through Patreon or just from coming and hanging out, you know, in Discord. Brew Lounge is a great place filled with very interesting people. And I am certain there are some other very interesting people in this lounge as well from the couple times I've been over there.
It's always fun.
And we're always happy to have more people join us. But that is all for today's show. Thank you, and have a good night.
Bye. That's why I used to do the when I was a real degenerate, I used to do when Pizza Hut had the pasta things. So I'd go, was it Pizza? It was either Pizza Hut or Domino's. One of them did like a basically a big ziti plate of 3 pounds of pasta.
Oh my god.
So I used to order that plus a pizza, and I have the pizza for dinner. And then when I get hungry, I just go to my this is super dangerous. I left my oven on low. Oh. So I just go over, scoop it out, and yeah, it was wow. That was a time in my life. That was about the time when I used to live alone, and I realized why, and I couldn't keep real silverware around because I would just
I remember you talking about that.
It's the same apartment, by the way. This place was I'm glad no one ever came to visit me. I will say that lasted a year, and I was I need to get out of here. I need to be near people so I actually clean up after myself.
Yeah, I went and bought a vacuum.
Oh, nice.
And I've been meaning to do vacuuming for 2 weeks now. Still hasn't been done. I got the vacuum out of the box. I put it together. It's in a closet.
Nice, nice. Well, you know. That's awesome.